Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumatica. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's topic is entitled, Finding Oneself After a Grief Observed. I was reminded very early this morning of a statement that I had read long ago. And that is, all disease is spiritual. And when I first read that statement, it struck me like a thunderbolt. And I deliberated and ruminated over that statement for a very long time. That statement changed my studies and changed my life in many ways. I had to go back and do further research into the profundity of that statement. In the past, I had taken that statement for granted, but here was an MD who had extensive work, had done extensive work in a particular area, and this was his conclusion. After being in his specialty and in his field for many, many years, all disease is spiritual. And so this morning, as we continue our study in 1 Samuel and considering the life of Hannah and her particular spiritual malady, I would like for you to bear in mind the statement that all disease is spiritual. Because when we look deeply into Hannah's situation, the reality of that statement is most evident, because Hannah was diseased. She suffered, it would seem, depression and dysphoria. Most certainly there was spiritual discontentment in her life. Dysphoria is an emotional state, once again characterized by anxiety, depression, or unease. And it is evident that this is going on in Hannah's life. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah has gone to Shiloh with her husband. This was their an annual ritual that was observed in Elkanah's family. Elkanah was her husband. Hannah was one of two wives. The other wife was named Peninnah, who had bore children to her husband, Elkanah. And Hannah had not. She was barren. She had been ruthlessly, and that is, Hannah had been ruthlessly and mercilessly persecuted by Penina. Penina's name means jewel, and she was anything but a jewel to Hannah. Hannah's name means grace. We read in the text that Elkanah loved Hannah. We do not read in the text that he had such affection toward Penina. And so we've seen that Penina was jealous toward Hannah because her husband did not love her. So, beginning at verse 6, we read, "And because the Lord had closed her womb," that is Hannah's, "her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her." And in Hebrew, it is in the imperfect tense. And that is, this kept going on. This was not an intermittent occurrence or something that happened from time to time. This was a constant situation in Hannah's life. That is, she was constantly being harassed by Penina for being unable to bear children. And so, notice the depth of this spiritual situation. Here is something that Hannah cannot control. Here is a situation that is not her fault. Here is a condition that should bring some type of sympathetic awareness, or should elicit some type of sympathetic awareness from Penina. But no, it is the point of contention. This very poignant situation is used by Penina to really do spiritual harm to Hannah. This is impacting, that is, Penina's persecution is impacting Hannah's spiritual life in a very profound way. Never are we told in the text that Hannah lashed out at Penina. Her personality, that is Hannah's personality, is very different. She does not lash out at others. She lashes out against herself. She takes this Penina's persecution and her harmful actions and words into her soul. And so Hannah does spiritual self-injury. Hannah hurts herself. This condition is going to be, that is, her spiritual condition is going to be brought to a head. We read in verse 8, what Elkanah says, verse 7. "This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat." And so Penina was able to control Hannah's life, Hannah's personality. She knew, interestingly, which buttons to push until she would get the desired result in Hannah's life. Hannah would weep and would not eat. Hannah, verse 8, her husband would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping?" And it seems that she never told him or never communicated with her husband about what was going on. It could be that her heart was too full or she was too angry to speak to him about what was going on in their home. he would further say, he would further ask, why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons, or a lot of sons? So these were her husband's questions, and they did not begin to address where Hannah is spiritually. He wanted an answer, but then the questions that needed to be asked in order to get an appropriate response were not asked. And indeed, her heart was too troubled to speak to her husband in an appropriate manner about exactly what was going on with her. She was too troubled. Verse 9, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. Excuse me. Verse 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. It is interesting how the writer skillfully introduces into the text Hannah's spiritual state. That is Hannah's spiritual disease, bitterness of soul. This word bitterness is a Hebrew adverb, and the root of the word means a drop or a flowing down. In the book prior to 1 Samuel, there is another, which is another narrative that deals with a spiritual condition in which there is bitterness of soul. In Ruth chapter 1, there we have the story of Naomi and her husband Elimelech and their two sons. In the book of Ruth chapter 1, we read, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife's name Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephratites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. This is very interesting because we read in verse 3, now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married indigenous women, that is, they married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. And so she is a widow and she's alone. And so she only has two daughter-in-law with her. A very interesting situation occurs. And Naomi goes back to her home of Bethlehem with one daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. And I'm going to read from verse 19. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaimed, can this be Naomi? Don't call me Naomi, that is pleasantness, which is the meaning of Naomi's name. Don't call me Naomi or pleasantness. she told them, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. Now remember, in the last show, I mentioned that in Hebrew cosmology, the neuter it is never used in any context. For instance, so in the West, one might say it is raining. In Hebrew cosmology, in Hebrew culture, it is Yahweh has made it rain. And notice that Naomi's words, call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. And this word bitter has the same root that we are looking at in the narrative of Hannah, when we read bitterness of soul. So Naomi says, the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. So it is a very interesting situation. And so in her bitterness, Naomi blames Yahweh for the decision that she has made, that she and her husband made, to leave the house of bread, that is Bethlehem, to go to Moab, which God called his washpot. And so, again, we see that her action is not to look at her behavior and the fact that she and her husband made this decision to go and to another country, and misfortune befell them. So it is very interesting. But let's move back to Hannah. We will address Ruth a little bit in more detail later at another time. 1 Samuel 10, in bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. Now, of course, in her bitterness there is grief. And she prays to God, and she makes a vow. She makes an oath in verse 11. And she says, O Lord Almighty. Now, she deliberately chooses this title for the Lord. She deliberately chooses this title because this is a woman who is very hurt. And so her words, her choice of words, that is, in her prayer, are very deliberate. She is beseeching God to do something very powerful on her behalf. And so her appeal is to the Lord Almighty. If you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. And therefore, she is saying that her son will be a Nazarite. And we find the conditions what it would mean to be a Nazarite in Numbers chapter 6, verse 12. As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, but her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. It was a tradition not called to pray aloud. But we read in verse 13 that Hannah was praying in her heart. And so the high priest observes this, and he misunderstands what is going on with her. He misunderstands the spiritual discontent in her heart and in her life. And so his diagnosis is that she was drunk. Now, Eli did not take out any spirit, any instrument to do a spiritual assessment on Hannah. So very insensitively, he has function about her. And this is very unsettling, because in his role as a high priest, he should be more aware. He should have been more aware of her condition. He should have been more sensitive and empathetic toward her, instead of pronouncing a judgment upon her and believing negatively that, well, she is drunk. Now, had he spoken to her in another manner and done an appropriate spiritual assessment, he would have come away with some vital information about what was going on in her life. But you see, when we introduce our prejudices and our assumptions into a situation, we're not going to receive or get the information that we need in order to help. And one of the primary concerns in those who work in the cure of souls is to understand the necessity of having a spirit, having an instrument available, so as to do an appropriate spiritual assessment about the individual and what is really going on. And if one's prejudices get in the way, then one needs to excuse oneself. Notice that she has to defend herself in her grief and in her diseased condition. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." And so, I mean, he goes on. He proceeds from his assumption, and then he verbalizes what he believes to be true about her. And it is not, what he has said is not true of her. Perhaps, in his defense, he has seen this in the past and said, you know, this looks like something that I have seen in the past. But then that is another faulty assumption that can be very, very unfortunate. Get rid of your wine. And so she defends herself in verse 15. She said, "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord." It is very interesting that in verse 15, where where Hannah says, I have not been drinking wine nor beer. Well, let's go before that. Not so, my Lord, Hannah replied. I am a woman who is deeply troubled. And in the Hebrew, it reads something like this. I'm a woman of hard spirit. Very different. I am a woman of hard spirit, or a difficult or even vehement spirit. And so you see the anger about her condition in that statement. You see the hardness of heart that is going on. In verse 10, the writer says states that in bitterness of soul. And here in this verse, in verse 15, we read that she is of hard spirit, or a difficult spirit. And so when I began the show, I stated that long ago I had read the statement that someone had written that all disease is spiritual. Well, we see what has happened, or the reality of that statement, in the life of Hannah. One can become very twisted spiritually when one is trying to make sense of what is going on in one's life. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, we have another statement about bitterness. And it reads, Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, in the Greek New Testament, the word for root is rutha, and pancreas is the word that is transliterated as pancreas, and that word literally means poison. All disease is spiritual. When one's spirit is poisoned by a negative attitude, then certain biochemical events begin to happen in the body. Cortisone is released, and cortisone begins its corrosive work within the body, breaking down organs and tissues. And so it is indeed a very high price that is paid when one is of a bitter spirit, or one is suffering from all disease is spiritual. The biblical documents prove this. Hannah's hard spirit, her vehement spirit, her angry spirit has produced profound changes in her body. Beloved, if you know someone who is going through a very they are suffering from bitterness of spirit, please have them listen to this program. On tomorrow's edition of Pneumatic Cause, we're going to continue on this vein, and we will delve more deeply into Hannah's situation. Please stay tuned to Pneumatic Cause, and if you would like, read ahead. I'm your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. This is Pneumatic Cause. Have a wonderful day.